You might find some as good, but you're not going to beat them. Amen. That's good. Zion, holy hill. I like that sovereign of the sea too, folks. That means if he's sovereign of the sea, he's sovereign of your life. Mine. He's the Lord God Almighty. If we know Him as that, then we know Him rightly. Would you turn the Gospel according to Luke? The Gospel of Luke, the physician, chapter 16, verse 19. If you'd like to turn with me this morning, stand as we read God's infallible, inerrant, plenary, verbally inspired, living Word of the living God. Say, preacher, you think that's a powerful book. You better believe it is. Luke chapter 16, verse number 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Father, in thy name we've read your word. I believe this book. I believe what you're trying to say here. I believe the message involved in it. I believe much power, the power that you've put in your word, in Moses and the prophets. In Jesus' name, give me the grace of God to preach it. In thy name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. In my Bible, not all of them, but in my Bible, that's all red. Now, don't misunderstand me. If you don't have a red-lettered Bible, that's absolutely fine. I've got all kinds of Bibles. I have many Bibles that are not red-lettered. I know old-timers, they wouldn't have anything but a red-lettered Bible because the words of Christ are in red. But the reason I point that to you is that Jesus Christ said what you just read. Every word that I read to you about hell was said by the Lord Jesus Christ. He said that 2,000 years ago, and the Apostle Luke recorded it just exactly as he said it. I'll call your attention to verse number 22 of Luke chapter 16. It came to pass that the beggar died. The Word of God says, as it is appointed unto men once to die, and then the judgment. There is not a living person on the face of this earth that could really tell you what death is. It can tell you that, and they can't tell you that. So the Word of God must reach beyond the veil of life and open up eternity for you to be able to understand what lies ahead for every one of us in this house today. It doesn't make any difference how long time is, how far it transpires into the future. Inevitably, every one of us
will go through that door of death. If the Lord Jesus Christ does not come soon, we will pass, as David said, by the way of all the earth, and your days will come to an end. This is the area that philosophy and psychology and education and so forth wants to leave alone because they don't know anything about it. They can't handle it. It goes beyond them. They have no control over it. They cannot look into eternity. This is where the Bible sets itself apart from every other book on the face of the earth because it speaks with authority, clearly and distinctly, about what lies beyond the door of death. If this were your day of death, and it did come your way, and it can come a lot of different ways. You could be shot dead by a robber in a bank. You can be killed in a car wreck on your way home. An aneurysm could explode in your brain and you could bleed to death. Your heart could collapse and you could stop breathing. You could have a stroke or anything of that nature. There are a lot of things that can go wrong with the human body. David said, I am fearfully made and wonderfully made. It is a very mechanism, if you please, to look at it simply from a scientific point of view. It is a marvel in itself that a human being lives. But of course it is the hand of God that causes a human being to live. But the time will come when you breathe your last breath and breathe no more. I have been in the room more than once when a soul left this world and they breathed their last. I've been standing by their bedside and I was there when they left this world. I didn't see any spirits move through windows. I didn't feel any brush of the breeze. I didn't hear any angels. It was just a silent time that person's soul departed from their body. And at one moment they were breathing, and the next moment you look at a body and you realize that a profound change has taken place. That person lives no more. And the Bible says in the book of Luke chapter number 16 that the rich man died. And the word death is from the Greek word thanatos, and it means the cessation of life. Living is over. They're gone. They're not here anymore. You have a body that looks like that person, but it's not that person. You have the features of the one that you loved, but there's no response from them. You have a dead body, and that dead body, therefore, comes under an entirely different set of rules according to the Word of God. Something big has taken place. They're not here anymore. And the Bible tells us that the rich man died and was buried. And then the Scripture says in hell, he lifted up his eyes. What happened to this man? The same thing that happens to any man. His soul and his spirit departed from his body. He might have been very shocked to find out that there was something on the other side. That there is something awaiting him when he left this body. He may very well have boasted and bragged all of his life about the fact that I die like a dog and that's all there is to it. And when I'm gone, I'm gone. But to his surprise, he found out that he was still conscious after he had left this body. It could have been the greatest shock that he'd ever known in all of his existence to realize that he was in a place that he didn't even believe existed. And he realized something else too. He was fully aware of all that was going on about him, and he was falling into a bottomless pit. It was here that he began to take note that to his shock and dismay, he was out of control. He was in a pit, and he was falling head over heels, headlong. Down, down, down he went as the sides of hell flew up about him. He could hear that he wasn't alone. Down beneath him, screams were rising up from beneath into the lowest hell. He could smell, he could hear, he could taste, he could see all the senses that he had on this earth. He had them there, but his location had changed. Oh, what a horror it has to be upon a human soul to realize that all of the lies and the joking and the making fun done now didn't make any difference whatsoever. They awakened in hell, and that's where he is. He was in the place of the lost, and oh, how lost he was. Lost without God and without hope, and falling into hell. What a sensation it must be to be falling head over heels. Down, down, down you go, and you fall headlong into hell. You scream, you beg, and my friend, it doesn't do any good because you're in hell. Hell hath enlarged itself. It's wrapped its arms around you. It's pulling you into its midst. Down you go, further away from God, into damnation itself, and there's nothing you can do. You are in the pit. You're in a place called hell, and your mind goes back to what you might have said on this earth at the times you've heard the gospel and been the preacher begged you to get saved, and you rejected him. The memory in hell must be horrible torment. The thirst must be horrible. It must be terrible to burn night and day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And you say there is no hell. To your surprise, you'll find it out firsthand. And the rich man died, and he continues to fall. It's been 2,000 years since the rich man died, and he's still falling. He's still falling deeper and deeper into the pits of hell's a big place, friend. Hell ever enlarges itself. It is never satisfied. It's like a giant squid that reaches out and pulls into its midst all it can. Its mouth is agape and open, and wide it receives all that would reject the Lord Jesus Christ are going into hell. He's been there 2,000 years. If he could just have one moment of peace, just a little moment of peace, just a second or two away from the flames, he'd beg for it. Oh, what he'd do! But he has none. It's night and day, 24/7. His mind must endure it. He knows, being a human being, that there's a tomorrow and another tomorrow and another tomorrow. He knows there's no end to his suffering, and that is suffering itself. Just to know that there will never be a time when hell will turn him loose. He is in a horrible place. Horror like horror has never been known. Let the horror of knowing that you're going to burn forever flood through your soul. Let the horror to know that you're in a dark pit and you'll never have relief from that. That is hell enough for you and hell enough for anyone. And without the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll go to hell. He's been fallen for 2,000 years. Many have been falling for 2,000 years. They've been screaming, they've been begging, they've been crying. And my friend, they can't do a thing to get out of hell. What a place it is. The Bible says in Luke chapter number 16, it's a place of torment. And torment he is, tormented night and day, night and day, night and day, said preacher. What a horrible thought that somebody would go to hell. Was that somebody you, dear friend? Are you sitting here this morning listening to me, fully cockeyed, convinced in your mind that you're good enough never to go to hell, but the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that can keep you out of hell? If the rich man could be brought up this morning, and I could stand in here on the stage before you and give him 5 minutes to preach, you've never heard a message in your life like you'd hear from him. He'd let you know in unknown certain terms that hell is a place of fire. Hell is a place of loneliness. Hell is a place of burning. Hell is a place of sorrow. Hell is a place of despair. Hell is a place of lostness. There is no other place on this planet like hell. Into the heart of it he falls, and it begged you and pleaded with you, if at all possible, please accept the Lord Jesus. Please repent of your sin. Please get right with God now while you can, while the day is near, while the hour is right, while you can be saved. The rich man had begged you, plead with you. He'd do anything he could for you to keep you out of hell. In Luke chapter number 16, he said, send Lazarus. I've got 5 brethren. I don't want them to come into this place. They're going to see me here. They're going to ask me why I didn't warn them. I'm going to have to spend eternity with my 5 brethren in hell. But the rich man continues to fall. The Bible said there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. I can understand why they wail, because of where they are. They gnash their teeth one against another, and fire engulfs them. sun. They breathe fire. They live in fire. Fire embraces them, and they scream night and day. The sounds of hell must be horrible. Imagine all the souls are in the pit. There must be a horrible sound. If you could pull back the gates of hell this morning and hear what's going on, you wouldn't want to hear it. You wouldn't want to hear that kind of crying. You wouldn't want to hear the loathsome scream that comes up out of hell. It rises way deep down inside a pit where men and women know they have no hope, in a place where the dying die and never live, a place where the second death begins to take its toll on the human soul, dying and never completely dead, dissolving and never completely dissolved. Hell, my friend, is what the Bible says in Luke chapter number 16. The rich man died and went to hell. There was a hell at the cross. There was hell in the nails. There was hell in that cat of nine tails that ripped his back open. It was hell for him to hang there for 6 hours on the tree. But he did it for you. He did it for me. He suffered my hell. Glory to God to keep me out of hell. And I bless the name today of the only one who could conquer hell. There's one that has power over hell. There's one whose word hell listens to. There is one that can shake the very foundations of all creation. And that's the name of Jesus. I know that name. I know that man. I'll never have to go to hell because I know him. I'll never burn, thank God, for the Lamb. Bless the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. In hell he burns and continues to fall. When hope is gone, nothing but despair floods the soul. He burns and he burns and he screams. And those about him scream. And those about him burn. I cannot imagine. I don't want to know. I don't want to know. All I can do is just try to preach to you and paint you some kind of a picture to give you an idea of what this horrible place is like. I want you to know that the fear of God is not before any man today. Men and women today live like there is no God. There is no judgment. There is no hereafter. There is no accountability. They do as they please. They murder as they please. They have sex as they please. They kill babies as they please. They live like they are themselves a law unto themselves. And the day will come when they'll find out that there is a God Almighty. Hallelujah. There is a Lord Jesus Christ. Bless the name. There is one greater than us, who is the judge of us, who is the king of the universe, and his name is Jesus. If hell tried to take hold of me right now, if hell tried to grasp my soul, if hell tried to reach up and say, I'm taking you into the pit, I'd put my hand out and I'd say, no, in the name of Jesus, I've been to the cross, I've had the blood, I've been saved, I've been washed in the blood, I cannot go to hell. Hell would have to recede. It would have to say, yes, that's true. Hell would have to acknowledge the power of the Word of God. I lay my head on my bed at night. I can sleep in peace. For if I don't wake up in this world, I know, I know, I know, I know, I will not wake up in hell. Amen. And the day will come when those that are in hell falling deeper and deeper headlong into the pit will hear a voice. It'll be a voice unlike any voice they've ever heard. It'll be a voice that reaches to the lowest hell. It'll be a voice that shakes the very foundation of the pit itself. And it'll hear a voice that stops the fall. It'll hear a voice that shakes hell. It'll hear a voice that hell responds to. It hears the voice of the Maker, the Master, the Creator, the Lord of the universe. And hell itself begins to rise. Higher it comes, up to the surface. Oh, for a fleeting moment. The soul has been burning for 1,000 years. May have one moment of thought of respite. Possibly I can be forgiven. Maybe God has changed his mind. Oh, maybe an opportunity. I'll repent. Oh, Jesus, I'd repent. I'll repent, Jesus. But it's too late. Hell is marched before him. In the distance he sees a throne. What is that? He says to himself. It's a great white throne. It's huge. The whole universe points to that throne. As a matter of fact, there is nothing but the throne. He looks above him, there's nothing. He looks beneath him, there's nothing. He looks about him, there's nothing. As he realizes for the first time in all of his existence, it's all about God and him alone. No big names here. No identities here. Nobody to brag here. It all comes down to the Maker and His creation. One by one, they march before the throne. One by one, the books are opened. And another book is opened, which is the Book of Life. And every name that is not found written in that Book of Life will hear a voice say to him, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." And at that moment, the choice is no more. No more pleading, no more begging, no more words. Time for words are past and gone. No more opportunities, no more revivals, no more preaching, no more invitations, no more. And something takes hold of you that's more powerful than you. And as it drags you away, you hear the roar. And it's a roar unlike any you've ever heard before. You've been in the hell. You've been in the fire. You've watched the sides fly up by you. You've smelled the stench. You've tasted corruption. You've been covered with vileness. But now you're being led away to a roar like you've never known until you approach it, and now you begin to understand there is something worse. There is something that hell itself is going to be cast into. There is that final judgment for the murderer facing his victims. There is a judgment for the abortionist facing all the little babies that he's killed. There is a judgment for the rapist that's molested these women. There is a judgment for the drug dealer that's ruined the lives of countless thousands. There is a judgment. You hear it, now you smell it, now you see it. They take hold of you and they cast you physically alive as you can be, condemned into a lake burning with fire and brimstone. That is your final abode. There you will burn forever and ever. I didn't give you a Hollywood script. I didn't read from somebody's romantic book. I didn't tell you about what some religion teaches. I gave you the words of the Son of God who died on a cross 2,000 years ago that you could be saved to keep you out of hell. There is the final abode of the wicked. It is a lake of fire and brimstone. Would you just hear me for a moment? Don't go there. Don't go there. Don't go there. You don't have to go there. What preacher can I do? Oh, what can you do? Some Christian, tell them what they can do. Somebody that's been born again today, you tell them what they can do. What must I do, the Philippian jailer said to Paul and Silas. What must I do, he said, to be saved? And Paul answered him and said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." Is that it, preacher? You mean just embracing the Son of God? You mean just believing on Him and taking Him into my heart as my Savior? You mean lasping onto Him, taking hold of Him, however, whatever I got to do inside me, and say, "Jesus, save me!" That'll keep you out of hell. You want to do that? It's open down here. You're faced with imminent damnation. Or you can be born again right here. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. When they're screaming in the lake of fire, I'll be singing, "Jesus, there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus. Like the fragrance after
the rain. Jesus. Jesus.
Oh, it's a good name. Jesus. Let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away. But there's something about that name.
Isn't it wonderful?
He's good. Just keeping me out of hell's enough. But look at all else he's given me. My. My. Hey, Brother Caldwell. God bless your soul, brother. You've preached the word. Bless you. I know it is, brother. I know it is. What would you say to anybody in this house this morning to keep them out of hell? What would you tell them to do with Jesus? They don't have to go to hell, do they? With a heart. Did you hear what he said? Have you noticed a consistency in the message? I didn't put words in his mouth. What would you say to someone to keep them out of hell? They came to you and said, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go. I don't want to go to hell. What would you say to them? Would you say, keep the commandments, live a good life, be good to people, do the best you can? That's not going to keep you out of hell. There's only one that can keep you out of hell. It's a man. His name. Jesus. 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 There's just something about that name. I love that name. Master. Savior. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. After the rain, Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Does that name inspire you? Isn't that amazing? I'm going to sing Jesus forever. Amen. And you're in jeopardy of going to the lake of fire. To me, it's a no-brainer. Why don't you get up today and come down here and say, Preacher, I want to sing about Jesus. And I want it coming from my heart and I want to mean it. I want to sing about Him because I love Him. I love Him. He's just not a fire escape. I love Him. I want to sing about Jesus because He's been good to me. Yeah, He has. I want to sing about Jesus because He's my Lord. I want to sing about Jesus because He's worthy. That's the main message of Revelation 4 and 5. He's worthy. Father, in Jesus' name, I've done what You called me to do. Preached Your word. Thank You for coming in here and helping me, Lord. You know what a great singer I am, Father. Well, God, You come into this house, You blessed us and You helped us. Now, Father, I pray for every soul that heard this message. There's somebody sitting in this house today, their heart's jumping out of their chest. They're breaking into a cold sweat and they're worried. They're worried to their soul because they know they're not going to heaven. Yet they're afraid to step out. They're afraid to do anything about it. Let this be that moment. Let it be that time. Let it be right now that they get that settled and that they go as Lazarus did into Abraham's bosom, not as the rich man did into hell. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody keep your head bowed for a moment. Would anybody raise your hand here this morning and say, Preacher Lawson? And nobody's looking. This is private, personal between me and you. Nobody hears anything about any of this. This is between us because I want to pray for you. Say, Preacher, don't you pray for me because I'm not sure where I'm going when I die and I'm worried. I want to pray for you. I just want to pray for you. I'm going to take you before the Lord. I'm going to carry you into my closet and talk to God about you. Nobody's looking. This is personal between you and me. Anybody? Say, pray for me, Preacher, because I don't know where I'm going. And I'm worried. I'm worried about this. I'm worried. I don't want to go to hell. Anybody? Raise your hand. Say, pray for me. Thank you. God bless you. Hand right back there. Nobody in here knows who raised that hand. God bless you back here. Another hand. God bless you. Thank the good Lord. God bless you here. Another hand. God bless you here. There's another hand. That's four adults that raised their hand in this house today. Nobody knows who they are. Only the Almighty. This preacher, I'm going to carry you and my soul before the Lord. I'm going to go into my closet and shut the door. I'm going to pray for the Holy Ghost to be able to work in your heart now and help you and move you and draw you to Christ and put in what you need to believe on Him. Anybody else raise your hand this morning? Pray for me because I'm not sure, preacher. I just don't know now. I don't know. I'm not certain. God bless you back here. That's another hand. God bless you back here. There's another hand. That's six hands that have gone up in this house already. God bless you. That's seven hands that's gone up in this house this morning. Every one of them. God bless you. That's eight hands. Every one of them adults. That's eight hands that have gone up in here. I'm going to pray for you. If I live, I will pray for you. Anybody else raise your hand in this house today and say, pray for me, preacher. I will carry you into the closet. That's eight hands that have gone. That's a good number. That's a mighty good number. That's the number of a new beginning. That's His number. Glory to His name. Jesus, 888. Anybody else raise your hand now? Anybody? Raise your hand. Say, pray for me, preacher. I just don't know. How many raise your hand this morning now? We had eight raise their hand. How many raise your hand here this morning and say, preacher, I'm not sure about a lot of things. Would you pray, God, show me the truth? I'm uncertain. All right, now we've got hands going up everywhere in here. Good. Good, 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 good. I expected folks to raise their hands. God bless you there. God bless you back here. The Bible said, you shall know the truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. He said, I'm the way, the truth. These kids quoted that this morning, John 14. I am the way, the truth. The truth will make you free. Father, in Thy holy name, Lord, You gave me the great privilege, God, in Thy sweet name, a privilege. Lord, I could be building engines this morning. I could be hammering nails. I could be doing a lot of things. But God, You called me into the ministry. And here I am up here preaching this book. And Father, there's nothing wrong with all these things a man does with his hand. But God, You blessed me and called me and gave me this great privilege to preach Your word. And for that I thank Thee. I bless Thee and will bless Thee as long as breath is in this body. Bless Your name. Now I pray for those who raise their hands, uncertain about their salvation. And I'll pray for them again, Holy One. And I lift them up before Thee. Let the sweet Holy Spirit now, Lord, work in their hearts. And let them not resist His work. Let them not resist the Holy Ghost as He begins to make things real to them and bring them under real conviction. And then lead them to Christ. I pray in Jesus' name. For Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen. All right, brother.